SFMSports.net. On air, online, mobile, on demand.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
We're halfway through the 2014 Bayside Conference High School football regular season. And I got to tell you, week number five, bringing some surprises. And even if it's not necessarily in who won, it's how close the games are. Mike Bradley along with you, Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios at 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Your scoreboard updates throughout the program brought to you by Brett and Boyd Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Wrapping things up, our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week saw Cambridge fall to Cape Henlopen by a score of 35-14. So the bet that I had with Scott Abraham of WBOC-TV looks like I won. But barely, but nonetheless. But let's get right out to the scoreboard. And folks, you know, Kent Island at home against Parkside, last couple years you'd say, hey, no problem, that game's well in hand. But the Parkside Rams this year, now the record might not reflect a lot of wins because they're 1-3. But they have fought a lot, and they lost a very close game to North Carolina, but even a closer game to Easton over the last couple of weeks. And they've gone into Kent Island, and they're giving the Bucks a game. Parkside scoring just a few minutes ago, a 63-yard drive, highlighted by a 30-yard run by quarterback Devin Redding, Wayne Gardner on a 1-yard touchdown run. The 2-point conversion failed, 30-19, 8:39 left. But now I'm just seeing that Kent Island answering with another special teams touchdown a little bit ago before the Parkside touchdown I told you about. Kent Island had forced a safety on Parkside, an intentional grounding call in the end zone by quarterback Devin Redding, gave Kent Island 2 points, also gave him a free kick. Well, Mike Quinn returned it 70-plus yards for a touchdown. Parkside responds with the touchdown I mentioned by Wayne Gardner, but now they come back and get a special teams touchdown. So that's biting for them, unfortunately. So now that game is at 36-19. PAT Goods make that 37-19. Now Kent Island leads Parkside with 8:22 left in the game, and it's going to look like they've got it well in hand. But Parkside had been in this game for quite a bit, really up until midway through the third quarter, early fourth quarter, I should say, until a couple of special teams touchdowns and that safety took place. But how about this one that just came in, and I had zero updates on this game throughout. Zero. And it comes across the wire here that Kent County, they escaped at home with a 29-28 win over Snow Hill. Now, Snow Hill, folks, is in year two of rebuilding. They're not exactly a juggernaut out of the Bayside South. They've really struggled over the last year plus here. For Kent County, with all that talent that they've got, and I do believe they were without Marquand Green in this game, though, but they still have a nice complement of other backs, so that's really no excuse. Wow, to come out 29-28, you wonder after last week's loss if at least initially the kids started to get down a little bit, doubt themselves, look at the season and say, we've lost three straight to quality opponents. We're in a major battle, a major uphill battle to get to the playoffs. You wonder, how did they come out in this game? And we'll talk to Coach Brendan Ironton coming up, but I got to admit, win's a win's a win. I get that, but I have to admit, I don't think anybody expected the game to be that close, 29-28, and not that you don't tip your cap to Snow Hill, but wow, we'll have to find out the particulars. Now, a game that I've seen one update on in the second half is the Easton Stephen Decatur game. That game was tied 27 at halftime. Quarterback Justin Meekins of Stephen Decatur, 4 first-half touchdown passes. coming back in the game after being down to Easton, who got up early in this game at one point 21-7 and led 27-13. Then Easton came back with a couple of touchdowns in the second half to make it 20, or excuse me, late in the first half, I should say, in the second quarter, that is, to make it 27-27. Wow. Unbelievable with that. Now, we had some games earlier, well, I should say earlier today and then one last week. Oh, well, now we're just getting it. Easton and Stephen Decatur are tied at 27. That's why I didn't see anything. They're going into overtime, and I said I thought that was a better Stephen Decatur team, even though they're 0-4, than what the record indicates, and they played a brutal schedule. And it continued this week against Easton, and it'll continue next week. Our Friday Night Lights game of the week is Stephen Decatur at North Carolina on North Carolina's homecoming in Ridgely. So that's going to be another game before they get to the South teams. And Wanconico won't be a rollover game. I think Jay and Bennett, Parkside, Snow Hill, I think they'll be able to win those games. But they've had a brutal start to the schedule, including a non-conference affair against Henlopen Conference team Indian River, who's at 2-2 this year. But, wow, I certainly thought that either this week or next that Stephen Decatur would get a win, and maybe, just maybe, they will. And I believe it was 2 years ago that a lot of people thought that Decatur was going to lose to Easton at Easton. That was an up-and-coming Easton team. Well, that year it was started to get marred by injury. But I think it all started in that game, that it started to go downhill for Easton after they lost that game at home to Decatur. Injuries crept up. Jalen Mooney was out for the rest of the year, I believe. And things didn't go well. And then Easton bounced back last year after 3 years ago. Matt Griffith doing a great job. And all of a sudden they dropped off. And now they're back at it. And once again this year, 4-0. But they're in a dogfight in our own backyard right near our studios here. But earlier in the day, 3:30 kickoff, Queen Anne's defeated Wicomico 32-7. So they bounced back after the loss to the Archmere Academy, who they played last Saturday up in Wilmington. They led that game 3-0 after the first quarter, and then it all went downhill from here. From there, I should say. But Queen Anne's the winner, 32-7. They improved to 4-1. Wicomico drops to 2-3. Yesterday, North Carolina, 42-25. Winners over Bennett in Salisbury. They improved to 4-1. Bennett dropped to 2-3. Now, getting back to Kent County, a big win and the 1A to beat Snow Hill. But again, nobody thought 29-28 the final. But Kent County 2-3 now, Snow Hill 1-4. Washington defeated Nandua of Virginia 14-6. And I picked Nandua, actually, that one. Nandua had three wins coming into the game. Washington won their first game last week against Colonel. That's two straight for the Jags. So building a little bit of momentum there. So again, the Jags 2-3. Nandua drops to 3-3. Tomorrow, Colonel Richardson, who's 0-4, looking for their first win. They host 0-4 Arcadia of Virginia. Kickoff of that one in Federalsburg at 4 o'clock. So that's where things stand right now. We've got one game still left, and that's Easton and Stephen Decatur tied at 27 going into overtime. That's where we have it. All right, we are going to get in touch with all the coaches, well, as many as we possibly can. Also, we'll try to see if we can't get head coach James McCormick, even though North Carolina played yesterday. We'll do that. So very interesting, though, with some of these games. You know, with the Cambridge game, the Cape Henlopen offensive line, folks, a lot of 265s there, and your starting center's 245. And they just had a mammoth offensive line. And they took it to Cambridge. And unfortunately for Cambridge, they just they had an early interception return for a touchdown that wasn't on the defense. And there's some question marks a few times. They're running the ball well, and then they start to pass, and they get backed up. Didn't help their cause either. But I think Cape just a better team. I think Cambridge, though, probably a little bit better than that score indicates. But at the end of the day, 35-14, that is the final. That is the margin. But to play a team like Cape Henlopen, that'll only get you better for the rest of the season. Now, Parkside, as we mentioned, trailing in the game after a couple of special teams touchdowns. It looks like Parkside driving, pass interference and defensive holding, then personal foul on Ken Island sideline. Three straight, so the Rams are down to the 14-yard line. But right now, though, that game is at 37-19 is the score right now, back and forth. So even if Parkside scores, they're still going to need to hurry up and get a few more scores if they intend to win that game, or at least try, tie it, that is, to set it to overtime. All right, speaking of overtime, it is Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net. We'll catch up with some of the coaches around the Bayside as we kick things off here. Week number 5 in the conference, the halfway point. It's 9:22.
Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics offers a full range of diagnostic and surgical services that include orthopedic, joint replacement, spine, hand, foot, and ankle surgery, sports, and physical medicine. So whether you're a student athlete, a weekend warrior, or a homemaker, Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has the solution to your ailments. Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has locations in Easton, Cambridge, Salisbury, and Kent Island. Let Dr. Michael Ward and Dr. Dave Eakin get you back on track. Call their friendly staff at 410-770-9875 to schedule your appointment. That's Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics, proud supporters of Bayside Athletics.
Oh, the aroma of that fresh homemade bread and sauce. That's what you get when you make a trip to Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant, Marlboro Road in Easton. If you want real homemade pizza, subs, and Italian dishes, then you want Roberto's. Roberto uses only the best cheese, meat, and flour, and the results are incredible. For a mouth-watering meal, stop by and check out Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant's new lunch and dinner specials. For dining in or carrying out, make it Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant. It's not too late to call Roberto's now, 410-770-3500.
If it's Friday night, it's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, 9:24, and before I even had a chance to go out to the phone lines, we've already got a coach calling into the program. Head coach Hugh Gibson of J.M. Bennett, who played the game against North Carolina yesterday, joining us on the hotline. And coach, were you in the Bayside North this evening scouting some other opponents?
Yeah, I was up at Cambridge watching the Cambridge game.
Well, I guess before we get into your game yesterday, give us your feedback on the two teams matching up against each other.
Yeah, it came down a game of breaks. Yeah, Cambridge turned the ball over, that big interception return for touchdown, and then they gave up a touchdown there right at 3 seconds ago at the half. Instead of going in 14-7, it was 21-7. So.
Yeah, big play there, no question about it. And boy, that Cape Henlopen offensive line—that's a pretty big front there. That's a pretty good attack to have going into any game when you got those guys up front lead the way.
All right, yeah, that always helps. You got an offensive line like Cape had, but Cambridge played with them, and a couple bad breaks, and that's all it takes. High school football.
Most certainly, and that defense had its work cut out for them, given the size of their offensive line. 8 returning starters for Cambridge today, and I guess you could argue maybe kept on the field a little bit too much. Their offense could have helped them out a little bit more, but obviously that didn't happen.
Right, yeah, and that big fullback that Cape Henlopen had, yeah, but it just wore down Cambridge a little bit, but yeah, they had their hands full.
Yeah, most certainly. And the fullback that you're referring to from Cape in the game is a heck of a back. And he was our Overtime Live player of the game. And you're talking about William Gibbs of Cape Henlopen. And in that wing T, which, as you know, features the fullback. Coach, we just got an update on the Stephen Decatur Easton game. And Stephen Decatur has taken the lead 33-27 in overtime on a Drennan Browse 1-yard touchdown run. Now, the PAT is missed. That could be big because if Easton scores and converts on their extra point, then that's it, game over. So, Decatur, that's a big PAT miss unless they're able to hold in that game. That may end up being the difference between them being 1-4 and 0-5. I guess we'll have to see.
Right, yeah, but you got to give your hats off to Bobby Knox. You know, 0-4, his team always comes ready to play no matter what the record is. We'll see what happens.
Well, and Coach, you know, coming into the season, we knew it was going to be a rebuilding year for Stephen Decatur, especially on their offensive line, but it was a rebuilding year last year, and they ended up making the playoffs and losing only 14-6 to a much more athletic Westlake team from Charles County on the Western Shore. So coming into this year, rebuilding, but who knows? I thought Coach Knox probably did one of his best coaching jobs last year with that team.
Yes, he did. They executed real well every game they were in, and that's a typical Stephen Decatur game. Their team, they're going to battle you to the end.
Now, Coach, you were watching Cambridge Cape, so obviously you've got a game coming up against Cambridge, I assume.
Yeah, I got them in 2 weeks. I've got Queen Anne's next week. I was at the Queen Anne's Y game today and mm-hmm. went down to the Cape Henlopen game tonight, and then I'll be at the Del Mar homecoming game tomorrow because my son's going to Delmar Middle School.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. A busy guy. Very busy guy. Well, let me ask you this. Before we get into your game, you also saw Queen Anne's of Wicomico. We'll try to get in touch with head coach Donnie Greff, unless he's off the bed already. We'll have to see. Maybe we'll have to wake him up. But what was the what was the main factor in Queen Anne's win over Wicomico?
That running back they got, number 11, I don't know who he is. He does everything but freaking go over to the concession stand and cook hot dogs, for crying out loud.
So are you talking about Tommy Jones?
Number 11, I don't know who.
I don't know his number either, but I know they've got Kavanaugh and Tommy Jones in the backfield. Pretty good guys.
Yeah, the running back, not the quarterback. So
Correct.
I think he ran for two, and he caught two, had an interception. So he turned a punt, set up another touchdown. So, yeah, he just a heck of an athlete, and you really got to prepare for him, and that's what we're going to try and do.
Well, Coach, it is final. Easton with a 10-yard touchdown run from Jalen Mooney. Chris Doyshel's PAT was good. Easton over Stephen Decatur, 34-33 at overtime. That's got to be heartbreaking for Decatur, missing the extra point in overtime, and then Easton converting, and that's game over. So Easton 5-0, Stephen Decatur 0-5. And we talked to Bob Knox last week, and he said there was only one other time where – and I don't know specifically it's whether his team started out 0-4 or whether he had four straight losses. I think we were saying 0-4, but I'm not sure he's ever gone 0-5 in his career at Stephen Decatur.
Right, but it's a very good 0-5 team. I mean, his schedule probably the toughest in 10 years I've ever seen anybody have to go through. So,
well, I think he said his first seven opponents all made the playoffs last year, and I know Indian River did in Delaware. That was a non-conference game, but then he had Queen Anne's, who did. We know that. Then he had Cambridge, Kent Island, Easton. Okay. They all made the playoffs last year. He's got North Carolina didn't, and they played next week, but Carolina had a pretty good year. They almost got in.
Yeah, they were 7-3.
So that's a tough sledding. Wow. Okay. Well, Coach, let's talk about your game yesterday. Now, you were quoted in the Star Democrat, David Inslee, writing the piece yesterday as saying that in your 14 years, despite you've had as many injuries as you've ever had in 14 years. Now, I kind of equated your program to the University of Maryland because you've had some injury issues over the last couple of years as well. You guys can't seem to buy a break in that department.
No, this has been the worst. And it's no excuse. I'm not looking for any sympathy.
No, I understand.
We lost three offensive linemen to significant injuries, and apparently we lost the fourth one last night. So that's four out of five starting O linemen. Mm. We're missing a starting inside linebacker. He's out for the season, looks like. It's just been one thing after another, and it's been frustrating for me and the kids on the team.
Coach, injuries happen, but is there anything that you can point to or any fixes you could make in the offseason that might better help your kids prevent injury? I mean, I got to just ask the question.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we looked at. I mean, of the four linemen, three of them were religiously in the weight room this summer. So I don't know what else we could have done, and it's just part of the game, and you got to deal with it.
So I guess you're having to reach down into your JV team and maybe having to bring up guys that aren't quite ready to play at the varsity level.
That was a good thing. We had 37 guys on varsity. We had some depth at the O-line. We had seven that we were, going to keep, that we knew could play the varsity level. Some were still developing, and those ones that were developing, we had to throw into the fire last night, and they held their own, but North Carolina just wore us down, and their fundamentals were a little bit better than ours.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, two outstanding running backs, one a sophomore, but you've got Rodney Thomas on the team, you've got Kenny Jackson, and then a freshman fullback that they brought up from the JV team, David Bailey, who had two touchdowns. So they've got a nice stable of backs back there. Reminds me of Wicomico the last couple of years, who have had three or four backs that they could throw out against teams.
Right, yeah, but up front, they just got in their blocks, and they stayed on their blocks, and there were some nice holes there, and they did break some tackles, but North Carolina up front and that wing tee, nobody executes better than James and Collins. So you know what you're going to have to face, and it's a battle, and they're going to be a team to reckon with the next few years here.
Coach, it seems as if you, despite the injuries, you guys have a lot of good, you've got a lot of skilled players, talented skilled players, but is it the fact that those injuries on the offensive line, has that precluded you from having as much success on the ground and in the air as you'd like?
Well, we just can't get any consistency going. We're having to rely on the big play to score, mm-hmm. and
it's not there and the other team can get the ball and drive it and keep it out of our hands, it's just tough. Because the other thing is we're hurting on D-line, too, because a lot of those guys, you know, were going both ways or helped on the D-line, and we're just getting worn down, and we're losing the game in the second half because we just don't have the horses up front.
Well, Coach, who do you guys have next week?
We go Queen Anne's, Cambridge, our next two.
Next two. So some very tough opponents coming up for you. Obviously, as you said, you're out scouting. And I guess all you can do is work as hard as you can, put together the best game plan you can, and go out and see what happens on the field, right?
That's what I told them. I told them, I said, I'll be there Monday to coach at 3:15, and I expect every one of my players that's physically able to play to be there, and we're not going to quit. And all those cliches I'm throwing out there, but I believe it. And we got talent. We can play with anybody. We just got to put it together.
Coach, real quickly, let me ask you, and I know there's the In-Salisbury rivalry there, so you don't want to compliment folks too much, but it seems like that's a Parkside team, despite the record, that has really made a lot of strides. And I know, again, it doesn't show in the win-loss column, but that seems like that's a much better Parkside team than we've seen over the last couple of years. Would you agree with that?
Right, yeah. They've just been snake-bitten. They've lost, two very close games, and they played Ken Allen tough tonight from right here.
So. Yeah, they did, yeah. Yeah, that game's still going on, actually, and if it weren't for a couple of special teams touchdowns they gave up, that game might be tied, or they might just be down by 1 or 2 points, actually.
Right, yeah, and then you got to look the other way. They got a really big special teams play against Easton that put them back in the ballgame. So
that's true.
It shows how much, you know, how important special teams are. And our game last night, you know, 2 minutes ago in the half, and number five returns a punt down to the 3-yard line. So instead of going into half down 13-7, we're down 20-7. So, yeah, special teams are a huge part of high school football, and they can hurt you, Nick, and they can help you.
As we saw, Cambridge returned a kickoff for a touchdown to begin the second half. That was the only score Cambridge did the second half, but that certainly can sway momentum, no question about it.
Oh. Right, and that touchdown they gave up with 3 seconds ago in the first half, that was a heartbreaker. But then it's just a one-score game instead of two when they return that kickoff.
Right. Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. I hope the luck with the injuries gets better. But as always, you know, if we feel free to reach out to us, it's a little easier than trying to hunt people down. But we appreciate your time and analysis on some other games as well. And best of luck next week.
Right, you're right there. Well, when you throw the ball 45 times a game, your games aren't getting over until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know. That's happening. I gotcha. Well, Coach, thanks so much. Good hearing from you. And let this not be the last time we talk to you before the end of the season.
All right, take care.
Thanks. All right, sounds good. That's head coach Hugh Gibson of the J.M. Bettick Clippers, and we appreciate his analysis of the Bayside Conference. We're going to get to brass tacks and get to more coaches around the Bayside next. It's Overtime Live, Maryland's only high school football show on game night on 94.3 Wings FM at sfmsports.net.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Student Athlete of the Year. We take pride in supporting our local youth, whether it's in the sports they play, their academics, or understanding the importance of financial literacy. At Queenstown Bank, we think of it as investing in our future. For more information on financial education or information about the products and services we offer, stop into any of our 8 locations within Queen Anne's, Talbot, and Caroline counties. Queenstown Bank, proud supporter of our youth. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
U.S. Heating and Air is growing, and we're looking to add more HVAC technicians to our team. Must be licensed, have a good driving record, and clean background. U.S. Heating and Air offers great pay, great benefits, and company vehicle. So call 410-819-USUS for more info. If you're an HVAC technician, come grow with the U.S. Heating and Air team. Call 819-USUS. Need a plumber? Call Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Drain Service. Servicing Delmarva for over 30 years, they are the original Roto-Rooter that you can count on. Whatever your plumbing or drain service needs, they can fix it. Give them a call at 888-EDS-ROTO. That's 888-EDS-ROTO. Or check them out on the web at edsroto.com. When you hear this jingle, you'll know it's the real Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name. And away go troubles.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8045.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sports show, Overtime Live with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winx FM.
Well, got to strike it out on the phones here. Left a lot of messages with coaches. Some, they're still wrapping up, I'm sure, their post-game speeches, etc. Overtime Live, 94.3 Winx FM, sfmsports.net. Mike Bradley coming to you from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Give me just a second. We have a coach on. Hold on.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
All right. Head coach James McCormick joining us, bailing me out here. It's like pulling teeth to get some coaches now. The timing right now, as coaches are wrapping up post-game speeches and speaking to local media. They'll get to us eventually. Anyway, Mike Bradley coming to you from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Your scoreboard updates brought to you by Brett Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care at the AMC building on Kent Island. At Overtime Live, as always, presented by the great folks at the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites, and Queenstown Bank. Sponsoring our halftime show. All right, head coach James McCormick joining us on the line. And coach, a short week to prepare for J.M. Bennett, and he had to go on the road for it. How come you had a Thursday game?
Well, I think there was a holiday or something down Salisbury that we had to honor, so they moved the game up to Thursday night.
So what changes on a short week for you in terms of preparation for an opponent?
Well, it cranks everything up. You know, you got one less day to prepare, so you got strikes. Squeeze everything into 3 days, and you know, Monday's a little bit more of a work day than what it usually would be. Usually Mondays is, you know, a film day, weight room, you know, just some jog through stuff on the field. And you know, this week it's, you know, with a little bit less time, you got to go out pads and try to get after it, get yourself prepared.
And so do you feel like something suffers though inevitably during that week, whether it be maybe time on special teams or certain situations where you'd like to go over but just don't have time to do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you only have so much time. You can't keep the kids out there till 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, they got things they need to do and study and everything. So, yeah, you try to focus on the stuff that's important. Make sure you get everything covered. There's going to be some things that you miss, but you know, you covered big things, and hopefully, you've done a good enough job coaching the rest of the year that you know, the kids are ready.
And coach, the article in the Star Democrat yesterday about Little, or this morning, I should say, about Little Bo, freshman David Bailey. What prompted you to bring up the fullback?
He's a good athlete. That's what prompted me. He's, you know, he was he was somebody we knew could help us on varsity. You know, we've known that pretty much since this summer. But, you know, we wanted to get him a few games down on JV to get his feet wet and then, you know, bring him up, you know, when we think he's ready and start working him into the lineup. And we did that the other night, and he came through for us.
And, Coach, now you've got a stable of three backs, two very good wing backs, and a fullback in the backfield. So you've just added another dimension. And the fullback that you replaced, still pretty good as well, considering you guys were 3-1 going into the game yesterday. So you have to feel good. The more backs, and I guess you can keep the guys fresher as well. That bodes well for later in the year trying to wear teams down.
Yeah, you know, when you can put three guys out there and all three of them can run and you know, I think up front our guys are doing a pretty good job blocking. We got some very unselfish guys that are throwing their body around there and sacrificing for us. So, you know, that helps, you know, and you put athletes like that on the field and let them run a little bit, you know, you can have some good things happen.
And, Coach, getting out to a fast start on the road, always very helpful, and you guys were able to do that.
Yeah, we put together a pretty nice drive to start the game. You know, we took it down, scored, and, you know, we're able to get up 7-0. And that's nice when, you know, you can kind of take the kickoff and get your feet under. You go down there, hit on some guys, put the ball in the end zone and get a lead. That takes a little bit of the pressure off.
Now, Coach, I know a fairly comfortable win, 42-25 in this one. I guess the one thing I'd ask, a lot of positives in this game, especially with the run game. We just talked to head coach Hugh Gibson, who praised your team, especially in the trenches on both sides, but with your offensive line especially. Taking a look, though, at some of the plays that the Clippers were able to score on, are you concerned about your secondary, the back seven, and pass coverage that down the line, if you should beat a team that does a pretty good job throwing the football, that's an area you feel right now is weak on the defense?
Yeah, well, we got some problems. You know, we got some young kids out there, and, you know, we put some pressure on our secondary to try to get them to make some plays to help out those guys in the box. And, you know, right now we're not playing that well. We're making some mistakes. We're giving up some big plays. And that's something that we can't have in really close games, you know, and that almost came back to haunt us last night. You know, Hoots kids were getting after it. They didn't quit. They kept playing with us. And, you know, the score was 42-25 or whatever it was. But I tell you, it seemed like a lot closer game than that.
Now, I have to ask you, Jam Bennett has been plagued by injuries over the last couple of years. And Coach Gibson was quoted as saying that this year was his worst so far in the 14 years he's coached. So that's a big statement. In terms of injuries, are there certain things that you guys do in preparation during the off season to limit injuries as best as you can? Is there any special programs or special things that you have built into the off season program?
Yeah, I think Coach Joseph goes to church every Sunday and prays that we don't get injuries. It's you get your guys in the weight room. You try to work and you know, get a little bit stronger physically, put some muscle on them. That always helps, especially with the grind and wear and tear of a long season of football. But you know, injuries are, you know, some years you get them, some years you don't. It's a funny thing. And, you know, you try to teach a kid good fundamentals. You try to get them prepared during the week without banging on them too much. And, you know, and you just hope that you stay healthy enough and that you got enough depth that when the kids do get banged up, you got other guys ready to play.
Coach, taking a look, a 4-1 start to the season, looking very promising halfway through the year. I mean, it's close to perfection. Obviously, you'd love to be 5-0, but 4-1's the next best thing. You've got some players coming up from JV. Your JV seems to have a lot of talent. It seems like right now in Ridgely, in terms of the cabinet being stocked full of talent, it looks like that's exactly the case. And I know it goes in ebbs and flows, but right now it's really flowing for you guys.
Yeah, we're starting to get a good group of kids coming through the high school. You know, a lot of our coaches, our high school coaches, Jody Ward and Colin Joseph, have been working with our youth league, our Pop Warner League, for a number of years. And, you know, they've done some good things down there and had a tremendous amount of success. And we're starting to get a lot of those kids coming into the high school. You know, this year's junior class was really the first group that we were working with. And every year after that, it seems like we get a little bit bigger group coming through that have been with us and been in our program doing our stuff.
Coach, taking a look at the second half of the year coming up here, who do you kick off with next week?
We have Steve Decatur next week, and we're just actually leaving the Steve Decatur Easton game. It was a heck of a game. You know, we were down there scouting, trying to get a look, and I tell you, they might be the best 0-5 team I've seen.
I was going to say, I put that in my picks on OvertimeLive.net this morning when I posted it, that they're a lot better than the record indicates. They've had a very difficult schedule, probably the toughest of any team in the Bayside so far this year. And you saw, obviously, in the first half, their quarterback, Justin Beacon's, throwing four touchdown passes. And I know that that's an offensive line for Decatur that's trying to get revamped. That's maybe one of their bigger issues. But I guess the concern next week is you don't want to be that first win, that first notch on their belt. And I have to admit, Coach, and I'll just put it out there, that I, in my opinion and the analysis, I thought that whether it be this week or next, that Decatur would get their first win. And really, they almost got it tonight, but a missed kick in overtime, missed a PAT, cost them the game 34-33. So maybe you'll end up escaping that. Maybe that was their chance that they blew.
Yeah, well, I hope you're wrong about the end of this week or next. Hey, look, Bobby does a good job of those kids. You know, we're watching them down there, and they're playing their tails off. They're, you know, the quarterback kid is something special. He was making a lot of plays tonight, and, you know, they're going to be dangerous. You know, I just hope our kids are going to be ready. I hope we get them focused this week and can prepare and, you know, do what we've been doing the last couple of weeks and have some success.
In terms of their offensive line, as I talked about, in rebuilding mode there, does it look like a line that has made some strides? I mean, I don't know how much tape you've seen from the beginning of the year, but at week five now, do you feel like that line's a little bit better?
Yeah, you know, we're watching them tonight. We've seen them on film a little bit, but, you know, we're watching them tonight, you know, live. They're athletic. They got some kids that can move. They're not huge kids, but, you know, they're tough. And, you know, they're fundamentally, they're pretty solid. You can tell that they've been coached up and they know what they're doing.
And they've got a senior quarterback that can throw the ball and run the ball. I'm sure he's a guy that you'll be looking at to try and shut down next week.
Yeah, he's scary. I'm hoping that maybe he misses the bus or something, but I'm sure Bobby will get him on there.
Yeah, Matt LeCompte and R.J. Harmon, two other guys, they had a couple of touchdown receptions in the first half of that game as well. So guys to look out for next week. Well, Coach, best of luck. A great 4-1 start. I know we're only at the halfway point, and talking about the P word, we're not going to do that yet for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, but, let's not do that.
But you've certainly positioned yourself through the first half to do as good a job, almost to perfection there with almost 5-0. So good start to the season.
Yeah, well, we told the kids last night, 4-1 gives it, you know, only thing that does for us, gives us an opportunity to compete the second half of the season. So
that's
what we're looking forward to, and, you know, hopefully we'll get started this week with Decatur, and hopefully we can keep things moving.
All right, Coach. Well, best of luck. As always, we appreciate your time. Head Coach James McCormick of North Carolina improving to 4-1 with the 42-25 win over Jay Abedit yesterday. They've cut Decatur at homecoming, and that's not going to be an easy game. But, boy, if you're Decatur – at this point, we'll try to get head coach Bob Knox. I feel for those kids. You got to feel for those kids because, man, they had an opportunity there. Unfortunately, it missed extra point. And look, anytime a game comes down to that, we all point out, oh, they missed the extra point. If they had, it would have been tied, and they would have given themselves another chance. Well, there's no guarantee that they would have gone on and won it overtime. In addition to that, there's always several other plays in a game that could have been the difference of the game. But you feel for the kids at 0-5. And we'll see how they respond next week. All right, 9:50. It's the OTL, 94.3 Wings FM at sfmsports.net. We'll grab some more coaches around the Bayside next.
When it comes to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fits the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all of your crafts and custom framing needs. They have everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination. Keep updated on Facebook. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Easton Plaza.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, located in the Thompson Creek Mall on Kent Island, and proud sponsor of Overtime Live's Player of the Game Award.
The Edge Training Academy is a one-stop shop specializing in speed and agility for student athletes, but we also offer a very wide range of activities for people as young as 2 years old, all the way through full adult age classes. The motto here we go by is where passion meets performance.
Rest.
What it takes to be the best is within you. okay? Every individual is equipped with something that is innate. It's there, okay? You just got to dig at it. You got to find it. You got to polish it. And really, that's what we're here to do.
Come get the edge in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park, nice. Stevensville. Call the Edge Training Academy at 443-249-3133. Nice. Or see us on the web at theedgetrainingacademy.com.
Attention all contractors. Baltimore Door and Frame can fill your hollow metal and steel door needs. And Baltimore Door and Frame now carries all of your building supplies like insulation, treated lumber, steel studs, acoustic walls, and drywall. Leave the big box and depend on Baltimore Door and Frame. Baltimore Door and Frame now has locations on both shores, so call 1-800-68-DOORS. Support a local business that supports local sports. Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-68-DOORS. Doors.
The game is over and the lights are off. But we're just getting started. It's back to Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winks FM.
All right, 9:52 on the OTL week number 5. And we'll get you an update on the Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard in just a second. But coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios, Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. All right, it is final in Kent Island, where the rain started coming down sometime in the second half. Final score, though, Kent Island has defeated Parkside by a final score in that game, 43-25. Well, boy, you talk about a situation where Parkside was right in it, but then they have a safety on a intentional grounding call, and then Kent Island returns a kick, the free kick for a touchdown, and then they score, but then Kent Island scores once again on a special teams play. All right, we'll get into that game a little bit later. Head coach Jake Coleman joining us, though, from Cambridge South Dorchester. And, Coach, we talked last week about playing tough non-conference opponents. There's a lot of good that can come out of it, win or lose. And in this game today, you were facing a Cape Henlopen team that, boy, they had one heck of a offensive line when it comes to size. Certainly a challenge for your defense tonight.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, they're a complete team. You know, they have size, speed. They got, you know, they got home run hitters at every position and an offensive line that's just, you know, big, physical, nasty. You know, we had to keep trying to sub in and keep fresh guys in there. And, you know, it's just tough. It's just tough. I felt like the game was closer and more competitive than 35-14.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in the first half, you know, we had a blown coverage, you know, at a prevent right there at the very end of the first half, and they got a last second score.
Yep.
You know, we had a set up screen that was set up very, very well, and you know, guys just made a great play and tipped the ball up in the air and got an interception and took it back to the house. And
well, yeah, Coach, I wanted to ask you about that. Let's kick off with that. Cape gets the ball, drives down the field. You guys intercept the pass, do a good job on it, and then it comes back the other way. You drive into their territory, and Jeremiah Smack with a 55-yard interception return on a deflection. What kind of screen was this, by the way? Was this a tight end screen, a rocket screen, a bubble screen?
It was a tailback middle screen, and, you know, our tailback was set up. I mean, we had our wall set. You know, we only needed, I think it was like 3rd and 4, only needed a few yards, and just didn't get it over top of the guys, you know, rushing and everything. You know, right call, we just, you know, just got to get it up a little bit higher. You know, that's one that Nate, you know, he'll wish he had back. You know, you'll learn from it. You know, and then, of course, we had kind of a drop touchdown. It probably would have put us, you know, on the 5-yard line if we catch it, stay on our feet. You know, and then had that blown coverage and stuff. So, you know, we went into halftime down 28-7. You know, we're a little bit deflated, especially with the last second score. But really, the game was probably more of, 14-7, 14-14 type of game. I mean, we were in it. It was competitive. It gave us a great opportunity. I mean, anytime you can, you know, you're down 28-7, you know, you get to see, you know, what type of character you got, you know, what type of mental toughness that we had. And, you know, like you said, you know, playing good competition, you know, is going to tell you where your weaknesses are. But I felt like today in a loss, we showed more mental toughness in this loss than we probably have in some of our wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the guys came out in the third quarter. We're just, you know, fighting extremely hard. James Smith started off with a, you know, big kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right.
We almost got, you know, kind of a onside kick type situation. We got our hands on it, and, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, they're a great team. I felt like we kind of ran out of gas there in the fourth quarter. You know, we had a big drive, drove the ball, I think, 60 yards down into their territory in the red zone. And then, you know, we had a personal foul, block and blow the waist on the perimeter. And then we had, I think, a couple of legal procedures that really backed us up to, you know, third or fourth and forever. And, you know, like I said, I think we just ran out of gas. You know, it's hard. You know, when you got a big physical team with, I mean, they have a 250-pound running back that's 6'3", and he runs.
Yeah, William Gibbs. William Gibbs,
a
fullback, and they've got, I think by count, the Delaware State News in their preview, their Henlopen Conference preview, four guys on the offensive line at 260, their center at 245. Coach, let me ask you, though, you talked last week about having to clean up some mistakes and stupid penalties, and there was an offsides penalty, I believe, on a drive that gave Cape new life, and that drive ended up being capped off in a 47-yard touchdown pass from Tavon Scott to Javon Curry. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that was that drive. That made it 28-7 at that point. At one point in the game, there was another offsides. There was a face mask penalty. You just can't make those mistakes against a team like Cape, can you?
Well, I mean, we really didn't make the selfish, stupid mistakes like we had in a couple other games. You know, these were kind of effort mistakes. You know, the one on the perimeter, you know, our guy was out there trying to block, and you know, he's got to keep his feet, and so he blocked him below the waist.
Right.
You know, the other were a couple of legal procedures. You know, so I mean, it wasn't the selfish, stupid penalties. We just, you know, made some mistakes there at the end. And, again, I attribute that a lot to, you know, Cape Henlopen and how physical they were. I think it started to, you know, mentally kind of wear us down a little bit. And, you know, as coaches, we try to rotate guys in and get fresh guys in there as much as possible. But, you know, it just takes a toll on you, man. I mean, their size and their physicality is something else. I mean, they're a great, great team, very, very well coached. And, you know, they're going to be extremely successful in Delaware, I guarantee it.
Yeah, Coach, let me ask you this. You talk about the touchdown late in the first half that was a blown assignment on the prevent defense. That, to me, I guess that had to be the backbreaker. It's already 21-7 going into the half, but that's, you'd say, at least manageable.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a backbreaker because, you know, we run the opening kickoff back out and then get our hands on the ball in the third quarter, so... You know, it definitely was a tough situation, but, you know, we went into halftime, you know, with essentially what you're saying is the backbreaker, and we were able to, you know, regain our composure and come out with the, you know, the type of mindset that you need, you know, to get ourselves back in the game. So, you know, it definitely was a big blow, and it was a big play. And, but, you know, our guys recovered from it. So it didn't necessarily break our backs. But, you know, it's just unfortunate, and you can't have it, like you said, in big games.
Coach, let me ask you this. From the offensive side of things, you've got the kickoff return for a touchdown. You did score on a bootleg pass from Nate Lowe to Jabril Perry early on the game to make it 7-7 at that point. But after that, no scoring. Now, you were able to run the ball at times in the game, but what didn't you guys do? Could you point to one thing that said this is what pretty much kept us out of the end zone?
Well, I mean, we had the drop touchdown. We had the screen that was set up that we made a mistake on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then, you know, when we did drive on them, you know, we had that one, you know, blocking below the waist penalty. We only had two possessions in the second half. You know, we held the ball, I think, for 15 or 16 minutes on two possessions, you know, and they held it for the rest. So, you know, I think we had six possessions in the game, you know, so... you know, we had a couple mistakes, and that was really it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we definitely moved the ball. We definitely, I think we had the ball for, you know, about half the time. Possession-wise, it was pretty close. They probably got us by a couple minutes. But, you know, I was proud of the guys. We definitely moved the football. It's not like we came out here, faced a good team, couldn't move the ball, and they did whatever they wanted to us.
Right. No, that's definitely not the case. Now, let me ask you this, Coach. I'll do some early Saturday morning quarterbacking here. I wanted to ask you about the one drive, though, and I was trying to take some notes and also keep track with all the other games. It's tough to do sometimes. But in the second half, and this might have been your first possession of the two in the second half, you get down to the Cape Henlopen 34, and you're running the ball really well, But then it seems like all of a sudden you guys are going to the pass and you have some penalties, you get a sack. You end up being all the way back at their 40-yard line, and then you had to punt. If you had to do it over again, would you maybe call that series a little bit different once you got down to the 34?
No. I mean, we had the penalty on a running play. Okay. I mean, we only attempted one pass, and it was incomplete when we got down there. But that penalty took us back 15 yards, and, now you're sitting there in a tough situation. So, I don't know exactly what you're trying to get at right now, but...
I'm just saying, I didn't know if you wanted to run the ball a little bit more there.
You're four down territory, and you're trying to make plays, and I don't know. You got to throw the ball. You got to mix it up against a good team. You can't be predictable, and that's what we tried to do.
All right. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Who do you guys have next week?
I'll play Washington. It's at home. It's going to be homecoming, and we're also celebrating, if you could let me. It's our Hall of Fame, first annual Hall of Fame induction. We'll be honoring Bill Buzik, Pat Chester, Doug Fleetwood, Gordon McWilliams, Grayson Hurley, Heidi McWilliams-Stout in the 1979 state championship football game. That would be before the game, the homecoming court at halftime. And then on Sunday at 5 p.m. at the American Legion, we're going to have a Hall of Fame banquet honoring those people. It's $20 a ticket, and it includes a dinner, and all proceeds go to CSD Athletics.
Excellent. Well, Coach, I think it's great that you respect the past and the tradition at Cambridge South Dorchester that paved the way for the program currently and its state. And I think it's great that you guys are doing it. I know you spearheaded that. And I'm a big history guy, and I'm a big guy about knowing your roots and respecting history and tradition.
You're invited, Mike. You can get in for free.
If I'm not working, I'll be happy to attend it.
Well, I know you're a busy man.
I am very, very busy guy. But, Coach, we appreciate your time, and best of luck. We'll talk to you next week. Washington, by the way, they won over Nandua tonight 14-6, so that's two straight wins for them. And they'll be coming in, I guess, with a little bit of confidence. But the task will be tough for them against your Vikings. Coach, we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you, Mike, for all you do.
All right, appreciate it. Take care. Head coach Jake Holman of Cambridge South Dorchester. Winners today. Losers today, 35-14. But winners in the sense that that game will get them ready for the rest of their schedule, battle-tested, as I always like to say. And he's right. I mean, not a whole lot of possessions. A lot of that had to do with the Cape offense that just was able to run the ball on Cambridge because it's a behemoth of an offensive line there. But in the opportunities they did have, they made some mistakes, as he talked about, with a drop touchdown pass, with the interception where Cape made a nice play, and that kind of hurt things. And then defensively, they're giving up that touchdown right before the first half. Didn't help things. It didn't break them because they did respond with a kickoff return for a touchdown, but it dug the hole a little bit further for them. All right, we'll stop down, come back. We'll get some more coaches. Also get you a scoreboard update. We need to recap the scoreboard, and we'll do that coming up. Mike Bradley, along with you, it is Overtime Live, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net, Maryland's only high school football show on game night.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, a First Media station. Your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
It's the only show on the shore for all your Bayside High School football scores. Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on Winx FM.
All right, 10:05. Head coach Matt Griffith joining us of the Easton Warriors. And boy, what a game tonight in Easton. And as happy as we were to do the Cambridge Cape Henlopen game, this would have been a great game to do as well. Although coming in at 0-5, Stephen Decatur against or 0-4 against a 4-0 Easton team on the outset, Coach, most people would say, well, that should be an easy win for Easton. But knowing the schedule they've played, and they have played pretty well in some of those games, it's a much better Stephen Decatur team than their record indicated. And you guys got that tonight, most certainly.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very good football team that we played. We told the kids that if you don't look at their record, they've got great coaches. They got good athletes, and we expect to come out and be a dogfight, and that's exactly what it was.
Coach, you guys get up early in this game, And, well, you go up 7-0 in the game. They responded, but at one point you're up 21-7 at that point. But in the first half, Stephen Decatur, 4 touchdown passes from Justin Meekins in the game, 2 to Matt LeCompte and 2 to R.J. Harmon. Was their passing game or running game more of a point of emphasis for you coming into this week?
We knew they were double threat. They got a very good quarterback. Not only can he run the ball, but also their running game. You know, and he has a very good arm, can pass the ball well. You know, we had some things. We had some missed assignments and some missed keys that caused a couple of them, and credit to them, they picked it out. And, you know, they did a nice job in the first half getting behind us and doing some different stuff. And obviously we made some adjustments and held them scoreless in the second half.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, after a very busy first half at 27-27, I'm looking on the Twitter feed and saying, where are the updates? What's going on in that game? But as it turns out, because there weren't any scores in the second half, it goes to overtime. Some adjustments there. Also, though, what adjustments did Stephen Decatur make that kept your offense from scoring?
They did a couple things. You know, they stacked the box and started taking away some of our run stuff. You know, and then on our end, we just had some missed blocking assignments and some, you know, key communication errors at key points of the game where players thought, you know, different things were called in and so on.
That overtime that took place, Stephen Decatur, and you guys in high school get the ball where for overtime?
You get on a 10-yard line, and tonight they lost the toss, so we went defense first. Mm-hmm. I think they scored on their third down.
Okay.
And then we put some pressure on their extra point. They missed it wide, and then we got the ball from the 10 and scored from the first play.
Yeah, a heartbreaking loss, tough for Decatur, but obviously good for you guys. You know, that point is the difference of the game, and you've got a good kicker there, and Chris Teuschel there getting the job done that this year for you guys. Coach, the question thus far, a great start the first half of the year at 5-0. Your assessment of the team so far and where you need to go going forward in the second half to maybe start to talk about the P word, but I won't say it.
Now, you know, we're going to focus on Y High next week. And as a team, we can't play in spurts like we've played the last 2 weeks against, you know, these good teams. And eventually, you know, you got that saying that's out there, I'd rather be lucky than good any day of the week. So I'll take the luck right now. But, you know, we got to lock it down offensively and defensively and can't have some of these key errors. I thought tonight there was a ton of penalties that, you know, uncharacteristic of us. And, you know, we can't have that happen when you get in tight ball games because eventually your luck's going to run out.
Coach, from the outside looking in, it appears to me, and the good news with all this is, heck, you're 5-0, so you get some of these things cleaned up, and the sky could be the limit for you guys going forward in the second half. But from the outside looking in, it looks like clearly the defense, though, has to do a better job in preventing scoring. And I know there's some good athletes you guys play against, but the defense has to shore some things up. And it also appears that the passing game may not be as much on track as I thought it might be. Are those fair assessments?
First off, I think our passing game is just fine.
Okay.
But there was some we had some missed assignments tonight that caused some issues. I'm not worried about that at all. In reference to our defense, we got a lot of young kids out there that are getting a lot of reps for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're making young mistakes. You know, the great thing for us, we have a sophomore that got burnt early in the game, and he made a huge play for us and made a pick in the fourth quarter, which probably saved the game to go to overtime, and Mr. T.J. Nixon. So, you know, you're going to have some bumps in the roads with some young guys that are athletes until they start learning how to do different things. And, you know, we're working through it. And like I told him tonight, you know, if we win every game by one, that's okay. I'll probably die of a heart attack. But, you know, that's the most important thing. They found a way to win again. And there was many times tonight they could have put their heads down. They didn't. I'm proud of them for it. They got a hard-fought win against a very good football team.
Mm-hmm.
And we got another tough game next week that we got to get ready for.
No question about it. And Coach, let me ask you, you're talking about the defense and young kids there and getting a lot of learning experience. Are there things that the analysts and those at the game don't necessarily see to the tuned eye that you guys do, where you're seeing some progress when you go back on the tape, you're seeing some progress week to week, even though at times it might not always show up in the score?
Well, absolutely. And if you look, you know, we've been played that when we make a mistake, it's typically on a big play. So yeah. Teams are scoring on it. And
yeah.
That's the thing that we have to stop. Knuckle down a little bit, and make people drive the ball. And, you know, we're doing what we're doing. It's step in, but don't break people. We can't give up the big play, and that's what's hurt us early on.
Well, I guess you could describe it like the Ravens, the offense, a well-oiled machine doing very well, scoring points, and the defense, a bend-don't-break mentality, and the hope is in areas that you do need to get better, you're making those improvements, so but late in the year, you guys will be clicking on all cylinders there. Coach, we don't ask about special teams a lot, but was special teams at all a factor in this game tonight?
Special teams?
Outside of the extra point, that is.
Absolutely. We had two huge punts from deep in our territory late in the game that put them back around their 30, 35, which was a huge field position for us. And then kickoff, we were able to put the ball through the end zone once or twice and keep them inside the 20 off the kickoff. So they did a really nice job there. We weren't perfect on it. We missed an extra point earlier in the game. And, just glad to see Chris Duschel and those guys come back through at the end of the game when it counted.
Coach, who do you guys have next week?
We have Y High next week at Y High.
At Y High, and Y High loses to Wicomico, loses to Queen Anne's by a score of 32-7. But as always, they've got some athletes on that team, and that they'll be a good game. And is that game on a Friday? I know we had a Thursday game yesterday, and we always have some Saturday games. Is that a Friday game for you?
It's Friday night, and Y High is a very good, very athletic football team, and we're going to have to play very disciplined. And play assignment football to be successful to give them a good game next Friday night.
Well, Coach, congratulations. You can't get any better than 5-0 to start the first half of the year. Another half to go, but boy, you guys have put yourself in a really good spot. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good night.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. 10:13, it's the OTL Overtime Live, 94.3 Winks FM at sfmsports.net. Let's take a look at scoreboard. Brought to you by our friends at Brett Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. All right, yesterday it was North Carolina improving to 4-1, that is, with a 42-25 victory over Jay Bennett, who drops to 2-3. Earlier today, it was Queen Anne's improving to 4-1 with a 32-7 victory over Wicomico, who drops to 2-3. In our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, it was Cambridge falling to Cape Henlopen 35-14. Cambridge drops to 4-1. Cape improves to 5-0. And for those of you that follow the Henlopen Conference, Sussex Tech, wow, they were up big in the game. Dover came back, but Sussex Tech held on to win 35-28. I think it's safe enough to say that in the Henlopen North, it's going to come down to Cape Henlopen and Sussex Tech, most likely, for the Henlopen North title. So that's a very good Cape team that Cambridge played. A game I still can't believe the score of. Kent County improves to 2-3, but they barely edge out Snow Hill 29-28. Snow Hill dropping to 1-4. Washington winning their second straight, 14-6 winners over Nandua of Virginia. Washington down 2-3. Nandua drops to 3-3. And tomorrow, Colonel Richardson hosting Arcadia of Virginia at 4 o'clock, a pair of winless teams. And in my picks, I do have Colonels winning that game. We'll see if they can't get off the schneid and get their first win of the season. So that's the update there on your scoreboard. Some interesting scores, though. Interesting scores. And, of course, as we made mention, it was Easton over Stephen Decatur by a score of 34-33. Tied at 27. Both teams score in overtime. They get the ball there at the 10. And it was on Stephen Decatur's third down try. They score but missed the extra point. Easton scores. They get the extra point, and they win. That's a heartbreaker for Bob Knox and Decatur, who I'm not sure has ever been 0-5 during his tenure. And you're talking about the second winningest coach in Maryland history as active coaches, at least right now. So big surprise there. All right, we'll stop down, come back. We'll try to get in touch with head coach Brendan Ireton of the Kent County Trojans, winners over Snow Hill tonight in a must-win game for him. Keep it here.
Attention all contractors. Baltimore Door and Frame can fill your hollow metal and steel door needs. And Baltimore Door and Frame now carries all of your building supplies like insulation, treated lumber, steel studs, acoustic walls, and drywall. Leave the big box and depend on Baltimore Door and Frame. Baltimore Door and Frame now has locations on both shores, so call 1-800-68-DOORS. Support a local business that supports local sports. Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-68-DOORS. Doors.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and
and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus, you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
Back to Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, head coach Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans going to join us here in just a second, but a reminder for you that we need your help. If you're attending a high school sports game, then we want your pictures and videos. Send them to us at OvertimeLive@GoEastern.net or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. Also, if you can't get enough Overtime Live, don't forget there's OvertimeLive.net. On the website, I post my power polls there, my picks of the week. Also, every couple of weeks, our What We Learn segment. Got another one of those coming up early next week. And we want to thank our friends at SFMSports.net for streaming worldwide for those that can't get on the radio, those listening out of state. Don't forget, you can also listen to SFMSports.net via the TuneIn Radio app. Download that to your phone and punch in SFM Sports. All right, head coach Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans joining us on the line. And, Coach, a one-point victory tonight over Snow Hill. I have to admit, as an analyst, I predicted you guys to win, to bounce back after a couple of weeks of tough losses. I didn't expect it to be this close to a rebuilding Snow Hill team, but was it at the game? Break it down. Why was it such a close game?
Yeah, it was, to be honest, we had a lot of guys out still, and we were quite down to some of our second, third-string guys out there. At one point, I think it was 29-13 or 29-7. They came back 29-13, and we made it stop, and then we turned the ball back over. So, they got some pretty good running backs, and the running backs they punished us, and our run defense struggled at times, and you know what, when you don't play good defense, and they got a guy that's capable of breaking a run. I mean, that's what they did, and they made it close. And with everything that, with what our guys are going through and what our team is going through, and it was just good to get the win tonight for them or for us and to kind of move on from here.
Coach, from an outsider's point of view, after 3 weeks of losses there to some very good football teams, it seemed like to me this was pretty much a make or break a game here, especially against a 1A opponent.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with you on that one.
Now, Coach, you mentioned some injuries coming into the game once again. I believe I had read somewhere where Marquand Green was out for this game again. Is that correct?
Yeah, he didn't play tonight. Tavon Thomas was not there tonight. He didn't play tonight. We had one of our receivers actually went down middle of the game. He dislocated his shoulder, and we've had a string of bad luck with some injuries here. And the good thing is next week is we get about probably about like 4 or 5 guys and make impact. They'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, Mark Long will be back next week, and a couple other starters will be back next week. And I think Mark Long, he's fully. I can honestly say for the first time this year, he's probably fully at 100%.
Now, Tavon Thomas had an ankle injury a couple of weeks ago or early in the year. He played last week, but he didn't play tonight. Was that something that flared up in practice this week?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Fair enough. So you get guys back next week. And I guess that's one of the things coming into this year. A lot of talk about your team coming off a really good year last year. I guess the one thing that could deter it from being a successful year is injuries, and you guys have certainly battled that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the story of a 1A team. We have a school of about 550 kids, and you don't have a lot there. It's football with us is just kind of getting back on track and trying to get numbers back up. So we don't have the privilege some of the other schools do in 1A stuff. It's all 1A schools know. You get a couple injuries, and those are at your team. You're not very deep there, and when you're playing a schedule with a lot of 2As, I mean, it can be tough at times. Luckily, last year though, we didn't have the injury bug, and this year we're kind of facing it. But we're dealing with it, and we're just looking forward to moving on and looking forward to Buckside next week.
Coach, I have to ask, after last week's loss, how's morale been over the last week, and has it been a challenge for you to keep the kids' heads up? I mean, we are talking about teenage kids, and they're sometimes experience the ups and downs of life, and this time on the football field for the first time, at least for some of them. How difficult has it been to keep the guys up, or have they done a good job of doing that themselves?
You know what? It has been difficult. It's tough when you get, a lot of guys, they have a very high expectations for themselves. And when things don't go well for us, start to doubt each other. And it's just something that they're trying to learn with and experience and work through it. And I think tonight, getting that win and just kind of ending the streak is the first step to it. That wasn't pretty, but, they stopped the three-game losing streak. We had some game like last week. I mean, we left three touchdowns off the board that could have made the difference. Just like little mental mistakes that we've been making. You know, we jumped off sides on one of our legal motion on one of our touchdowns. We dropped a touchdown pass probably and scored from 1 yard line. So, we're leaving some touchdowns off the boards. And we're making our defense play in a way that we would like to. And that's just the difference right now. And if we can stop and limit those mistakes and start playing like they know how to, and get some confidence, then I believe we'll see a totally different team.
Coach, you did win the game tonight. Some positive things offensively. Obviously, anytime you score 29 points, you feel pretty good about winning the game. Talk to us about who scored for you tonight, and have you fixed the issue with your shotgun snaps?
Yeah, I think we fixed it. We put the ball out. Layla and I, we went to, we had a backup center to play, but. But I think that was the only one that we've had in the last 2 weeks. Really, we've had a couple high ones, but I think it's been fixed. And I think offensively, I think we've done a pretty good job moving the ball last week. I think we had 500 yards total offense, and this week I think we did really well running the ball. We kind of just wanted to go back to it, and we just made some higher percentage passes. But Stevie Curran threw two touchdown passes. Gordon Wallace had a defensive touchdown, and he also caught one of the touchdown passes. Daquan Seymour, who's been running like a man on a mission the last couple of weeks,
yeah,
really stepped up. I think he was probably close to 200 tonight. He definitely had over 20 carries. I think he caught one and ran one in. So and he had some key. To be honest with you, we actually went to 2-point conversion because we ran out of field goal holders. So I was kind of forced to go to the 2-point. That was the difference in the game because we made those 2 points. So.
What about now? Your running back. You're talking about what's happened to Zakai Kalk, because it looked like he had done a pretty good job filling in early in the year.
He did. He did really well, and he kind of he had a setback. I don't want to put his business out there, but we kind of had a setback last week. This week with him, and I think it's something he's going to learn from big time.
Okay.
The kid's a great kid, just making a mistake at school, or whatever. But I think we'll learn from he'll learn from it, and. I think he's done really well. He's still only a sophomore, so he'll be good in the future.
Coach, who do you have next week?
We have Parkside.
Okay, where's that game being played?
It'll be home for us.
All right, so that's a home game. Is that a homecoming game for you? In addition to being home?
Yes.
And coach, that's a Parkside squad that's a lot better than the record indicates. That they lost tonight to Kent Island, but they were in that game for a large part of it. And Kent Island with some give Kent Island a lot of credit, of course, but some late special teams plays. But in that game, the final score was 42-25. But a good game and a much better Parkside team. I don't know how much you've seen them on tape yet.
Yeah, I've seen them a lot this year. I think they're pretty big and strong and. I think the part of it is I think they're kind of like us where you play really tough and then a kind of mental mistake gets you here and there, but they definitely are a much better team than what their record shows, and Coach Riley's doing a good job with those guys, and like I said, I expect to get we expect to get their best effort out of those guys next week.
All right, the final score in that game, by the way, was 43-25. Coach, I got to ask you this question because I'm getting some text about this, and I certainly want to quell any rumors that are out there, so you're the guy to talk to. I guess right now there's some rumors going around a little bit that, and you didn't say anything about this, but that Tavon Thomas quit. Is that correct?
That's not what happened. I'll tell you what, I will... That's not what happened, but I'm going to leave that as what it is right now.
Okay, so that's the situation that you're handling, though.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to quote any sources on this, obviously, but I got that, and I thought that since you're on, I just got that text actually from another coach in the conference, so I thought it best to ask you and have you answer it. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right, well, Coach, I appreciate your time, and it was a win today, a hard-fought win against Snow Hill, 28-28 or 29-28. A lot of backup players having to play, but you get that win at 2-3, and certainly it'd be a good, better week to come off the win, obviously, in practice than it is a loss. So, Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck against Parkside next week, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, great. Appreciate the call. 10-26. Boy, that caught me by surprise. I got that text, and again, I'm not going to quote any sources on this, but it's a situation that I guess Coach is dealing with. That's not easy. And look, it's been, let's be honest with Kent County, it has been a tough year for this team. And if you want to talk about, look, they did a great job last year, and they did seize the opportunities. They came up short in the playoffs, but at the end of the day, I don't know that they could have done any better. You have to take that first step forward, have a good year, get in the playoffs, get some experience, and then usually, you know, you come back and you build on that. You know, Easton's a good example of that. They have dealt with a lot this year. Boy, have they dealt with a lot. Between injuries and maybe some other issues going on that they're having to deal with players, it's teenagers. Not the way this season a lot of people thought was going to turn out. And they're 2-3, but that's going to be a tough game against Parkside. And Parkside had a tough loss tonight, 43-25 to Kett Island. But let me tell you, you know, Parkside, though, still, just like Stephen Decatur, even though they're 0-5 going to that North Carolina game, that's still a better Parkside team than what their record indicates. So that's going to be a tough game next week for Kent County, even though that game's at home on homecoming. We'll see if they get enough players back that make the difference. And we'll see, you know, what the we'll see what the mental state of Parkside is at this point, though, because that's a team that has to be frustrated. They lose a close one to North Carolina. They lose a close one to Easton last week, a one-point game. And then tonight they're in that game against Kent Island, but then there's a safety. Then they give up on the free kick, a touchdown. They score, but then Kent Island scores another touchdown, and then they added on to it. So the game all of a sudden got out of hand, but they were in that game for a good portion of it. So that's got to be tough for head coach Brendan Riley, that is, and the gang out of Salisbury. We'll try to catch up with him. More of the OTL to come. We'll try to get a final game here, final game that we're talking about here, Kent Island and Parkside, that wrapped up final game of the night that went a little bit later. We'll try to track down Coach Sofinowski and Coach Riley and get their take on the game. We'll start to wrap things up here on the OTL.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, located in the Thompson Creek Mall on Kent Island, and proud sponsor of Overtime Live's Player of the Game Award.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sports show, Overtime Live with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winks FM.
All right, 10:30 the time, and this might be our best week so far in terms of tracking down coaches and talking to Betty. I even got a chance to talk to head coach Hugh Gibson earlier, who gave us a breakdown of some other games that he saw in addition to his game yesterday against North Carolina. All right, head coach Brian Sofinowski joining us, Kent Island, with the win tonight over Parkside. And, Coach, you know, in years past, at the Kent Island-Parkside game, not much of a game, but that seems to be a much-improved Parkside squad that you faced, and that was a game for a while until you pulled away.
Yeah, it was a good game. It's funny that everybody says how great of a game it was, and they're all surprised, and Parkside's a good football team, but we still scored 43 points, and we're still 5-0, so I'm kind of tired of hearing everybody say how good of a game it was. We're still 5-0. We scored 43 points. And, I mean, I don't know what else just because we're not winning by 40 doesn't mean we're still not a good football team. So,
oh. Well, I don't know that anybody saying that it's a good game means that disrespectfully to you. I think that actually they more mean it is that's pretty good for Parkside to keep up with your program. I think that's a tip of the cap to you guys, actually.
Parkside, you know, they played everybody tough so far this year.
They have, you're right. But it hasn't been that way in years past. That's I guess that's the point. But
they have a pretty good defense, and their quarterback can just flat out run. I mean, so they're a pretty decent football team.
I was going to say, from a running standpoint, is that the best quarterback that you've seen this year so far?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he's elusive. I mean, you know, when they go spread, there's going to be running lanes open because you got to be able to cover the guys.
Right.
And just give him 1 or 2, 3 seconds, and he's going to find a lane. You know, so that's pretty much what he was doing. I mean, you cannot account for a quarterback that can run like that. You just can't. No matter how much you want to spy him, no matter how much you want to tell your defensive ends they got to contain him, you cannot stop him. You just can't.
Coach, in the game, you get a couple of special teams touchdowns there. And again, we don't often talk about special teams, but talk to us about how much time you put into that. And tonight obviously came up real big there and extended your lead and ultimately was a big difference in the game there.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, our defense did a great job by getting a safety.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then they kicked off, and the kickoff return brought it back for a touchdown. So you're talking a 9-point, 25 seconds there, so it was pretty nice. And special teams, Jim Kerr, special teams coordinator did a great job, and the boys worked hard. So it was nicely done by them. We got 2 touchdowns by Mikey Quinn, and he's a full-time player. He plays offense, defense, and special teams for us.
Coach, we've talked over the last couple of weeks concerning line play, but also trying to cut down on any mistakes and penalties. And I know you've got a young defense as well. We talked last week. Did you feel like you made progress in that department tonight?
You know, I told my guys tonight, I was like, you know, there were times where we really played extremely well,
mm-hmm.
and really shined. But then there were times where you really saw that we were young, all offense and defense. And we have to play more consistent. You know, I'm not one of those rah-rah kind of happy kind of, kumbaya kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I told him, I was like, congratulations, you're 5-0, but we got to be more consistent. You know, you can't shut them down and then all of a sudden give up an 80-yard touchdown run. You know, so we've really, I think we've gotten better, but we still got a lot to learn, too.
Yeah, in fact, that seems to be a theme with some of the other teams as well, as coaches I talked to talking about that we play well in spurts, but we got to be consistent about it. But, Coach, I guess the good news, though, is that you'd rather be playing, I would assume, your best ball later in the year as you position yourself to hopefully get in the playoffs. And obviously right now you can't get any better than 5-0 with a first-half start, but there's still room for improvement there over the next 5 games.
Yeah, absolutely. And, look, our young guys are getting better, and they're doing a great job. They're working hard. Our coach is doing a great job getting them together. And if we keep getting better every week and being more consistent, then we're going to be competitive the last 5 games. And we've got a tough last 5 games. So we're just going to have to go out there and do our jobs. You know, nobody's talking the playoffs right now. We are purely 1 game at a time. And we know how tough Colonel played Queen Anne. So that's all we're looking at right now is Colonel Richardson.
And that'll be next week's game. And where's that game at, Coach?
It's at Colonel.
Okay, at Colonel in Federalsburg. Coach, let me ask you about your quarterback and some of your formations. Just seeing the Twitter feeds this evening, much in the same way it seemed like Parkside wanted to spread you out and then run their quarterback. It looked like you were trying to mix that in as well. And some comments online that, boy, Zach Smith, he's got some wheels.
Zach Smith, I mean, plays very well. I mean, he's thrown for almost 100 yards every single game this year. And he had 96, he was 7 for 10 tonight, 96 passing yards and 77 rushing yards. So he's a threat out there. You know, he does a great job running the offense, and I'll bet you 50 to 60% of the time he's making checks at the line of scrimmage and he's calling us on offense. So, and I've allowed him to do that, and he's fantastic when it comes to doing that. And our offensive line, you know, last week we had 3 100-yard rushers this year, or this week Zach Goodrich had 153, Zach Smith had 77, and Stone Boone had 71. So, you know, all of our guys did a really, really nice job tonight.
Coach, do you feel like you're at the point midway that you feel comfortable with your run game, whether you're spread out or you're in tight, or do you feel like there's one area that you have to get better at of those two?
I honestly, right now, I'm really pleased with both sides We're throwing the ball consistently, keeping the guys out of the box, and we're running very well. I mean, it's not just, you know, Zach Goodrich running for 100 yards. It's, you know, you better be prepared for Stone and Zach Smith and even Mikey Quinn and can squirt one here. He's getting a couple yards here and there as well. So I'm really pleased with the progression of our offense right now.
Coach, I have to ask you, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but last year, of course, you had a really good running back in Evan Greenwood, and this year you've got a stable of different backs. I guess the question is sometimes when you have one guy that you can rely on and does a great job, but at the same time, you know, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, would you rather almost have it be the case that you could spread the ball around and that you know you've got, you know, different guys you could go to, or do you sacrifice that for, well, we got an outstanding player that we're just going to ride him all the way?
Are you asking me, do I wish I had Evan Greenwood again?
Yeah.
I'd say absolutely yes, 100%. But at the same time, you know, look, our backfield right now is doing a fantastic job, and not just running the ball, but we're blocking extremely well at the same time, so... You know, it's two different teams. We can't compare. It's apples and oranges. Last year was last year. This year is this year. And the boys this year are busting their butts and working hard. And Zach and Zach and Stone and Mikey and Justin are doing a fantastic job. And the line is doing a great job for them as well. So, look, Evan's not replaceable, but at the same time, these guys are doing a fantastic job.
No question about it. You see that. Coach, I'm curious if you can comment on this. As you get into the second half of the year, and all coaches have different type philosophies, some coaches ease back on the hitting a little bit because you're already into five, six games plus spring camp, or excuse me, plus summer camp. Do you tend to adjust the way you coach in the second half in terms of, for instance, maybe you focus more on certain situations as compared to the overall? Is there any change, or are you pretty much consistent with your practices throughout the year?
We're pretty consistent, but at the same time, I'll tell you right now, we're only hitting one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going full pads one day a week because we can't afford an injury. We're more working on technique and working on where our blockers are than anything else. And for our young guys, that's more important than anything else in our minds anyway. So, you just can't keep grinding them in the ground, or you're going to lose a couple of your big players. So you've got to pull it back, the reins back a little bit.
No, I hear you, but I got to tell you, Coach, times have changed. I remember being at Calvert Hall my junior year. Boy, we had three-a-days. We hit during both of those, and then during the year, man, we hit each other pretty much every game or every practice except the day before. But that said, we went 3-8. We adjusted things our senior year, and we did a lot better. So,
Mike, that's a whole other conversation. We could talk an hour about the whole thing.
I'm
not going to get into that. I might get in trouble for that.
I understand. I think you and I are both from the old school, so yeah. I gotcha. Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. Another great one, and you can't get better than 5-0 to start the first half of the year. And best of luck next week against Colonel Richardson, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care. Hey, Coach Brian Sofanowski of the Kent Island Buccaneers. That is that is another conversation, because you can make the argument, though, on the flip end of, I understand protecting your guys and not affording injuries, but on the flip end of that, you know, you got to practice full speed. You got to practicing technique's great, but eventually you got to practice that technique full speed and proper tackling and proper technique and blocking, et cetera. You got to do it full speed, because practice full speed is different than the game full speed. That's because you're amped up more and you're out in front of a crowd and it's game day. And there's a difference there. All right. 10:40. That's probably going to do it. Should check in with any other coaches. I might wake them up. I left a couple of messages, but I guess if we recap here, the games, we'll take one final look here at your Brett Moy Therapy scoreboard update. And Brett Moy Therapy, the associates providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. It was North Carolina yesterday, 42-25 winners over J.M. Bennett. North Carolina at 4-1, Bennett dropping to 2-3. Queen Anne's at 4-1, 32-7 winners earlier today against Wicomico, who drops to 2-3. In our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, Cambridge South Dorchester drops to 4-1. They fall to Cape Henlopen 35-14. Cape improves to 5-0. And a heck of a game at the Henlopen tonight between Sussex Tech and Dover. Dover coming back and making it a game. But ultimately, Sussex Tech wins that game. But if you're a Cambridge fan, just to give you an idea of Cape, they're along with Sussex Tech are the best two teams in the Henlopen North, and the Henlopen North is a hell of a football conference. Some good teams there. All right, Kent County, they get off to Schneid after losing three straight, 29-28 winners over Snow Hill, having to play a lot of backups. Injuries have mounted. Head coach Brendan Ironton says they're going to get kids back, though, next week. Five kids back next week, and we'll see. We posed the question about Tavon Thomas. Apparently, it's a situation that they're dealing with him. I posed the question because there's a rumor out that he quit, and he said it's a situation they're handling with. He didn't say that that happened, though. So, but they're dealing with something there, and we'll have to see. But, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask the question. Better to get it from the horse's mouth and just throw it out there. Washington gets her second straight win, 14-6 winners over Nandua of Virginia. They're 2-3. Nandua drops to 3-3. Tomorrow, Colonel Richardson hosts Arcadia, Virginia. A pair of winless teams kick off in that one at 4 o'clock. Best of luck to the Colonels to represent the Bayside Conference. Also, did we mention the Easton Stephen Decatur game? Well, I saved the best for last. 34-33 in overtime. It was Easton over Stephen Decatur, 27-27 at halftime. No scoring in the second half. Overtime, Stephen Decatur scores, misses the extra point. Easton scores. Well, they make the extra point, and that's the difference of the game. 34-33, Easton the winner in that one. We just mentioned Kent Island, a winner tonight against Parkside by a score of 43-25. And, yeah, I think Coach took that the wrong way. And talking about being a good game, I think that's more of a tribute to Kent Island in the sense that, you know, it's a Parkside squad that has played very well over the last couple of weeks. Unfortunately, it hasn't translated into wins. They haven't played quite good enough, but they've been knocking on the door. But the fact that they were in that game with Kent Island, that's a tribute to Kent Island because most years of the last couple of years, you pick Kent Island and going away, no problem. So it's a tribute, I think, to Kent Island that, you know, that the Parkside was in that game for a while. But Kent Island pulled away. Special teams, big for them. They get a safety and then a couple of special teams touchdowns, and I believe they add one more to make it 43-25. And, yeah, when you score that many points, that's a good night when you get it done offensively and on special teams as well. But taking a look at things in terms of surprises, any surprise about Kent Island and Queen Anne's? No, definitely not. That's them. You know, Easton, I guess the question is this year, you know, could they build upon what they did last year? Because they had the first year of Matt Griffith was good, then a lot of injuries hurt them, and they dropped off the year after, then they picked it up last year. Could they string together the two straight years? The talent definitely there, senior quarterback. So I wouldn't say it's a surprise, but there was a question, hey, could they now, you know, continue it, put it back to back? Because it's not easy to do. Look at Kent County. Kent County hasn't been able to do that. Kent County has had injuries that they've had to deal with and things that they need to correct, and things haven't worked out. They're 2-3 right now, and they're still fighting for their lives. And they got to go to play Parkside next week. Now, that game's at Kent County, but still, that's going to be a tough game. And you wonder, the only thing you wonder about Parkside's mentality at this point are those kids, they still have fight after losing several tough games. Several tough games like that. You hope so. I give them a lot of credit. But you take a look at things. But anyway, Easton 5-0. I think we expected them to at least be 3-2, 4-1 at this point. But 5-0, hey, could they build on it? And they have. So not a surprise, but a question, putting it back-to-back. So far they have. Another half to go. And you look at North Carolina. That still has to be the team that, with young players and with some retooling on the offensive line, some guys along the way, you've got a sophomore running back there. Now you've brought up a fullback. You know, would they be 4-1 to start the year? And I don't think a lot of people probably had them at 4-1. And then we talked about Kent County at 2-3, and it's just tough for them, facing adversity. Now they still have five games to get things turned around, and they started with a win tonight against Snow Hill. You know, any other surprises? Not really. I mean, you look at Wicomico, yeah, they beat the teams they should, but they don't beat the better teams, and for various reasons, they haven't been able to get it done over the last couple of years against some good Bayside North teams. Cambridge, you know, 4-1, they lost some really good guys on offense, but they returned some good running backs and a defense. Surprised that they're 4-1? Not really. Maybe you could say they're 3-2, but not really. You know, Stephen Decatur at 0-5, yeah, that's probably the biggest surprise on the losing end of it. they've lost some close games. They did tonight, and they played Cambridge tough. And it's North Carolina's going to have a game next week at Ridgeland. I'll tell you that right now. They're going to have a game. And I predicted Easton tonight, but I said that I wouldn't be shocked at all if Decatur won. But if not tonight, maybe next week. We'll see. Maybe they squandered their opportunity tonight, though. That's the thing you have to ask. And we'll see. But that ought to be a good game. That's still going to be a tough one for me to pick, I think, next week. So outside of that, no real surprises. Now the second half. We'll see what happens. You know, the first half's one thing. You have a whole second half. And injuries can still play a part and inconsistent play, et cetera. And we'll see where teams go from here. But, boy, the North still, as ever, very strong. Very strong. And even a Kent County team at 2-3, if that's a healthy Kent County team, probably a little bit better record there, too. So that's where things are. All right, that's going to do it for us. We want to thank our sponsors that make this possible every night. Every Friday night, that is. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Roto-Rooter, U.S. Heating and Air, Pret & Moy Therapy Associates with our scoreboard updates. Halftime brought to you by Queenstown Bank. Our studio is sponsored by the Edge Training Academy, Docks Riverside Grill, Sport Clips of Kent Island, which gives us our Player of the Game Award, El Jefe Mexican Restaurant and Tequila Bar, Paulus Fine Jewelry in Chester, Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics, Baltimore Door and Frame, and Optical Galleria with locations in Centerville and West Ocean City, Docks Downtown Grill, and of course our presenting sponsors, the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Easton Inn and Suites. Next week, Mark Potter and Dale Beecraft. Actually, Mark Potter's going to be off next week. Matt Spence will be filling in for Mark, and we'll have North Carolina their homecoming as they host Stephen Decatur. And pregame in that one going to be at 6:45, kickoff at 7. So make sure to keep it here for the U.S. Heating and Air pregame show at 6:45. Then we'll get things underway with kickoff at 7. That's going to do it. Don't forget, check out OvertimeLive.net. And we'll have our power poll up. I'll have my power poll up Sunday morning and what we learned probably on Monday or Tuesday, and then my picks on Thursday or Friday. And don't forget, SFMSports.net as well has an audio version of the power poll, and we're streaming courtesy of SFMSports.net as well. Have a great one. Great weekend. Go O's. Up 2-0. Go Ravens. But, boy, what a O's win today. Tough loss for the Nats against the Giants. They'll try to tie things up on Sunday at 1 apiece. But a great sports weekend ahead. Don't forget tomorrow, Colonel Richardson hosting Arcadia in Federalsburg. Kickoff at 4 as Colonel tries to go for his first win. And then we are back next week.